Storytelling is at the very heart of the arts and humanities, sharing our personal stories, stories of our world and our moment, as well as passed down tales of our history and our memories. Our journey as a people, a country, and a world, on stage and in song, in books and in poetry, through a vibrant mural or a thoughtfully curated exhibition. Touchstone Theater, as well as the Hellertown Historical Society with partners the Lower Saucon Historical Society and Saucon Valley Conservancy, are all celebrating the power of stories, past and present, this month. Touchstone is presenting the 21st year of its acclaimed Young Playwrights Festival. This showcase of short plays written by local elementary and middle school students in the theater's Young Playwrights Lab takes the stage on Sunday, May 17th, 2026, of course, at 3 p.m. at Northeast Middle School in Bethlehem, in partnership with the Bethlehem Area School District. Touchstone created the Young Playwrights Lab to bring the magic of performance into the classroom and to provide the tools and the confidence that students need to flourish and grow into full-fledged playwrights. The Young Playwrights Festival brings the students' richly imagined worlds and wildly creative characters to life. And Saucon Valley's annual Heritage Day celebration on Saturday, May 16th, is bigger than ever this year, honoring the 250th anniversary of the founding of our country and exploring the richness of colonial life in the valley. Two sites, Grist Mill Park and the Michael Heller Homestead, will both be filled with living historians, artisans, live music, speakers, farm animals, crafts, food, a colonial prayer service, and yes, even the maypole. This is WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, and you are tuned in to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I remain Kate Scuffle, your host, and my first guests this evening are Mary Wright, Education Director and Young Playwrights Festival Coordinator for Touchstone Theater, and Amber Charay, Touchstone Assistant Education Director. Hi, guys. Thank you for joining us. Well, this is exciting, the 21st year.
Yeah.
For those of our listeners who have been foolish enough to not pay attention, a little background for them. The Playwright Festival itself and the works that are done on stage come out of the Young Playwrights Lab program.
Right.
Could you tell us a little bit about how that works? I know it's a growing, continually growing program, very popular.
Yeah, it began 21 years ago. We go into the schools. Amber can tell you a little more about what we actually do with the kids. But it's a great way. It's an after-school program, elementary, okay, middle school kids. And we work with them and help each kid write their own one-act play.
And Amber, how does that work in the classroom? What are the tools you, how do you approach it?
Well, our mantra is imagine, create, inspire, right? Okay. And so the imagination portion of it is all this kind of discovery through play. We play improv games and come up with these zany, very unique, original characters. And then we write about them. So for instance, like this chair that I'm sitting on, if it could talk, what would it say? How long has it been here? What does it want more than anything? And we really get the kids to kind of open up their imaginations, and then we just build, adding the different elements of the play.
That's lovely. And so then you've got these plays. You've had how many submitted this year? How many?
I think it was 158.
Yeah, it was over 150. I lost count.
First of all, even before getting to the Young Playwrights Festival, that's fabulous that these students have created 150-some plays.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then where do you go from there? How do you select? What's the next step?
Yeah, it's a process. Part of it is recommendations from the teaching artist and the teaching partner who were in each of the classrooms.
Okay.
They make some recommendations based on their experience in the classroom and with the kids and their knowledge of the plays. Like, this is a play that I can imagine being staged, or the characters are really fun, or there's some really sassy language, or thematically this is a really important play. And then Amber and I, we read their recommendations, and then I promise the kids, and I do it every year, I read every single play that's written. And out of all of that humongous smorgasbord, we come up with a festival. It's not that there are no best plays, but the plays are representative of the sort of full breadth of the writing that happens in this lab program. And there are four finalists that we fully produce their plays. We have a cast of over 50 actors, both Touchstone and community actors, who are performing on stage in all the plays. We have teaching artists performing some of the plays, some of the scenes from plays. So we have four finalists. We have three semi-finalists and a slew of runners-up. And this year, a very special award going to one young man, the Award for Excellence, because he wrote a 33-page play.
Wow.
And it's just too long to put on our stage for a festival. But right. It deserved some recognition. So it will get a very special recognition.
Oh, that's fascinating. Well, part of what I've always found affecting, aside from the work and the joy of it, is seeing these young playwrights get produced by professionals, adults, people in the community who, this is, you're really celebrating them and their work and honoring it in a really powerful way.
Yeah, I think it's really nice for students to be able to see the fruits of their efforts and see how something can start and like where it ends up. So as long as you keep persevering, and it just starts with this playful game but ends with this playful celebration of seeing it on stage, it's really powerful and motivating.
Yeah. I also think one of the things I love so much about it is that it's an example for the students of adults taking them seriously, taking their ideas seriously, taking their imaginations and their creativity seriously, and trying to honor that. And I don't think kids get that very much these days. And so I'm always thrilled that we get the opportunity to do that. And I'm always thrilled when the community comes out to help support that.
Do the student playwrights often participate in the rehearsal process? I mean, do they do get to, as Amber said, see it progress and build and transform?
Yeah, they're all invited to come and attend a rehearsal, which is always a fun time because, especially with a cast that's large, mine is about 20 people.
Wow.
It's a very fun one this year, but they get to meet the playwright. They get to learn a little bit more about the inspiration behind what they're actually putting up on stage. Mm-hmm. And it's really a joyful experience to be able to just watch them take everything in.
Yeah.
And some of the kids in the playwrights lab come and audition to be in the festival. And so if they were in the lab and if by any chance their play was picked for the festival, we cast them, but never in their own play.
Okay.
Because we want to make sure they have the experience of being able to sit in the audience to watch their imagination spring to life. And you can't do that if you're in the show.
Right.
You can't watch the show by being in it. So, but we have a lot of kids from the Young Playwrights Lab program that are actually in some of these plays. Yeah, it's a wonderful full circle moment.
What are some of the themes? Because, again, the wonderful thing about a younger playwright, too, there's the imagination, and which I'm sure is part of the exciting challenge for the adults of actually making the plays come to life. But what are some of the themes this year? Character special, surprising elements, some particularly odd characters we might look forward to, or interesting
perseverance
ones?
is a big one.
Like cats,
teamwork, friendship, collaboration,
And lots of cats this year.
Collaborating cats,
Well, I have never read a play like this before in this program, but this year in the festival we have a play with a real, not even hipster, a Gen Alpha God character. Wonderful writing, wonderful, wonderful, but like I have no idea where that came from. The play you're directing, Amber.
Yeah, I'm directing Rock, Scissors, And by 8th grader Keegan Frent from Brocco Middle School, and in his words, the play is about paper fighting back. I like to think that it is poor sportsmanship gone too far.
On the paper's part.
Yes. It has, rock, paper, scissors, and then shoot, I lost, but I'm going to win. So it's really fun.
Zori Sawyer, who was in the Playwrights Lab program, this is her second year. And last year, her play was picked as a semi-finalist. This year, her play was picked as a finalist. She wrote this really gorgeous play about a little girl who dreams about her dream. And that there's a character in her dream that is a dream crusher. Ooh. And how she has to deal with and overcome this dream crusher. And I thought the kind of message that is for us in this world right now, wow. It's like powerful.
Wow. That's interesting. Do you find yourselves then as adults and as the teachers, as the directors, as the adult artists involved, being affected then as well? I mean, it's just such a different perspective.
Yeah. I love how kids in plays, characters will say, "Hi, how are you? Do you want to be my friend?" "Sure." And I keep thinking, what a wonderful world that these kids imagine, where you can decide to be friends just because you met.
Or you're like, "Yeah, you're nice to us. Of course we can be friends."
And that there's no limit to the imagination. There's no sense of writing down to make it practical or something.
No.
I think it's always nice to just see how observant kids are.
Yeah.
They're just young people. And I think a lot of the times with that label as kid, child, student, we forget that, you know, they have a lot to offer. And if we slow down and listen to them.
They're paying attention.
Yeah. They are paying attention. And the way that they express it is in these animal characters and
talking donuts.
Yeah.
But it's wonderful, right? Because you might have characters. I mean, this was true 1 year. But there might be characters who are talking donuts. And so it'd be easy to look at that and just poo-poo it. But when you really look at what's going on in that play, it's a play about loneliness. Plays about forgiveness that might deal with a cat and a dog. But when you take the time to look deep and to look a little bit under the surface of these zany characters, there are some really important themes that come out of these plays.
I was going to say, we really encourage our listeners to go to the Touchstone website, but treat yourself. It really is one of the most magical afternoons of theater in the whole year. I mean, do not discount. This is an amazing, amazing festival, and it's a treat and a gift to be in the audience. It's at, again, the venue is?
It's at Northeast Middle School, which is a gorgeous theater space, and it's lovely because they have a huge parking lot, and there's free parking, and Touchstone does what it seems to love to do the most, which is by help bring voice to the community.
And again, folks, that's Sunday, May 17th. It's 3 p.m. It's one afternoon only. If you're not there, you're going to miss it. And it's a remarkable, beautiful, joyful, funny, silly, moving afternoon of theater. Mm-hmm. Do not miss it. Thank you both for joining us today, Amber and Mary. But thank you for the work Touchstone does in the community, especially for this festival and this program.
Well, and thank you, Kate. And thank you to WDIY for the incredible work you do in this community, too.
You've been listening right now to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon on WDIY 88.1. I've been your host, Kate Scuffle, and I have been talking with Mary Wright, Education Director and Young Playwrights Festival Coordinator for Touchstone Theater, as well as Amber Charay, Assistant Education Director, about Touchstone's Young Playwrights Festival, again marking its 21st anniversary of celebrating young voices when it takes to the Northeast Middle School stage on Sunday, May 17th at 3 p.m. We'll be right back after this short break.
WDIY's overnight delivery service is a refreshing mix of vintage and current popular music. You'll hear many of the artists played on The Blend and some from our folk, blues, and world programs. WDIY Overnight is a continuous mix of music popular with night owls and late shift workers. Listen Monday through Saturday night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. and Sundays from midnight to 5 a.m. for this great mix of hand-picked music on WDIY.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon here on WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and I'm joined now by Dennis Scholl, Vice President of the Hallertown Historical Society, as well as Chair of the Society's Educational Committee. The Hallertown Historical Society, along with Lower Saucon Historical Society and Saucon Valley Conservancy, are all partners in Saucon Valley's annual Heritage Day. The celebration is happening Saturday, May 16th, with a very special focus this year on the 250th anniversary of the founding of our country. So welcome, Dennis. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
The Heritage Day is already a beloved big annual event, which I'm going to ask you a little bit about, but there's a little bit of a theme this year with the 250th on top of that. Could you tell us a little bit about the festival itself and how the theme was chosen and how that's working.
Sure. This is the third year of Heritage Day. And this year, because of the semi-quincentennial, we decided to go back further into Hellertown's past and the region's past and do quite a bit more with colonial history. So we have been able to recruit a fair number of living historians who will be in camp life and playing harpsichord and spinning and various things that would have been done back in colonial times that you don't really hear much about in the history books. This is social life and culture. So we have artisans coming in as well who will be doing colonial crafts. They will be located out in the large field in Gristmill Park, and also a few of them in the pole barn, which is where people will be entering the event on Walnut Street.
Okay.
So we've got colonial artisans, we've got colonial living historians, and we have four talks in our tavern room venue beginning at noon and going on the hour at 1, 2, and 3 o'clock as well as noon, focusing on colonial history. And we've been very fortunate in getting the Bachman Players of Easton to take part in this. Christopher Black will be doing a Benjamin Franklin program about Franklin's times here in the Lehigh Valley in 1755. And then they're coming back a little later in the afternoon to do a conversation between John Adams and Thomas Paine, which should be fairly interesting. And then we have Jason Searock, who's doing a talk about the Moravian missions up along the Blue Ridge during the French and Indian War. And leading off the day will be Professor Andrea Smith from Lafayette College, who will be talking about the walking purchase.
Okay. All right. The two venues, the Gristmill Park, where the pole barn is, can you tell us a little bit about that? And the Michael Heller Homestead, which will be open and used in one of the sites that day as well.
Sure. Gristmill Park is the home of the Gristmill, the 1761 Heller-Wagner Gristmill. And by the way, that day we will be unveiling a plaque that will go on the Gristmill because it has become a part of the National Register of Historic Places.
Oh, wonderful.
So we'll be sort of dedicating that in the morning. The park is large. I mean, it's I don't know how many acres, but it is big. Large, and we have plenty of room to put activities in there. We decided to highlight different aspects of American history, and we thought that taking a look at what the American automobile industry has produced over time would be very interesting for people. So we put the word out that we're looking for antique and classic cars, and we have a pretty good number of them coming in, ranging from a 1914 Model T, a 1958 fire truck from Bryn Athyn, PA, Mustangs, Camaros, Chevelles, Model A's, Packard. We have a lot of cars coming in. An Indianapolis 500 pace car is one of them coming in. So that's there for car lovers. Community groups will be taking part in this, local churches, local community organizations. And we asked them this year to pay a little special attention to their own church's history. And we do have a Lower Saucon UCC church that goes back to colonial times. So they have some things to talk about. We're having a table where people can come and learn about Heller genealogy. We thought, my goodness, this is Hellertown. We really ought to recognize the Hellers. So we're having a Heller helper table. And people can find out about how to access Heller genealogy and other aspects of that very large family.
And there also, there'll be food trucks. The Lost Tavern Brewery of Hellertown will be providing beverages. And there's music, live music.
Yes, there is. Again, we're very fortunate. The live music actually starts out at 11:15 with the Saucon Valley High School Marching Band coming in and going to the music tent and going up on stage and playing the national anthem. And that'll be followed by the dedication of the National Register plaque. And at 12:30, we have Big Valley Bluegrass, a band I was really happy to get.
Yes.
And they're going to be giving a concert from 12:30 to 2.
Okay.
And then at the music tent at 2:15, we have a living historian named Tim Plotek, who is traveling up from Southern Virginia. Tim portrays a Revolutionary War minister, and Tim is a minister. But he's chosen a figure from the past who was with Washington's troops, gave them services before they went to battle, actually accompanied troops out onto the battlefield. Mm-hmm. So Tim's coming up to do a couple of presentations on that. One will be down at Saucon Valley Conservancy, I believe, at 11 o'clock, and then he'll be with us at 2:15. And when he's not doing presentations, he'll be in with the living historians to talk about colonial past and the importance of the religious aspect for the soldiers.
Right. And there'll also be a kind of commemoration at the Michael Heller Homestead honoring Saucon Valley Revolutionary War roots.
Yes. Mark Connor, who's their historian, has done a really good job digging up 71 names from the past, soldiers who were from the Saucon Valley that fought either in Revolutionary War militias or in the Continental Army. And they've got a whole list of them, and they have some of the descendants who will be there talking about their relatives.
That's fascinating. Now, this is also, it's a very family-friendly event. I notice there's also lots of activities, magic shows, events for children, for families to do together as well. It's a free event, free to the community, which is marvelous.
It is a free event, yep. Yeah, we have a lot of things lined up for children, and not just at Gristmill Park, but down at the Conservancy. And then in Gristmill Park, there are a couple different locations where different crafts will be done. We're bringing back the cakewalk, which most children have no idea what it is. And we're also going to do spoon races with eggs, but we're giving everybody a break this year. They're hard-boiled eggs, not raw eggs. And then finally, burlap sack races.
Oh,
now,
great.
Many children these days have never witnessed or taken part in anything like this.
Yeah.
And when I grew up in the 1950s, these were popular things when you'd go to county fairs or local events.
Yeah.
So we're bringing that back for the kids to see and enjoy.
Oh, that's wonderful. And the Allentown Band is playing as well, I noticed.
The Allentown Band is playing from 3:30 to 5 p.m., and they're coming right off a gig at Lehigh University graduation. So
oh, gosh.
We're getting a text message, getting the road ready for everybody to come in. And, yeah, they'll be playing. We're looking forward to that.
You can find out more by going to the Hellertown Historical Society Facebook page and the website at hellertownhistoricalsociety.org. Plenty of info and details. Shuttle bus service from off-site parking areas, right?
Yes, absolutely. We were, again, fortunate to work with Saucon Valley School District, and their middle school and elementary parking lots will be open for the public to park.
Okay.
Shuttle buses will be running between about 10:30 and the end of the day from those two lots down to our site. And then there's a second shuttle bus that is going to run just between the Conservancy's site at the Michael Heller Homestead and going up to the Gristmill.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So that'll be a short, quick shuttle.
Right.
We also have the Rite Aid parking lot at the corner of Walnut and Main Streets in Hellertown. It can hold about 50 cars. And then we have parking at our own site.
Has there been anything particularly surprising to you or particularly rewarding? I mean, it's such a wonderful opportunity to bring the public into what the Hellertown Historical Society and your partners are already protecting and preserving. But it's such a wonderful way of sharing it.
We feel it is. And we also know for a fact that probably the majority of people living in Hellertown really don't know about the town's past.
Hmm.
There is a lot of very interesting and exciting history that has taken place in that community.
Yeah.
Main Street, or Route 412, was once called the King's Road. And it was the main thoroughfare between Philadelphia and Bethlehem. Bethlehem back in those days was quite a community, very unique in North America, actually.
Right.
And it attracted a lot of people from Philadelphia who came up to spend time there, many of the founding fathers during the war, after the Battle of Brandywine in 1777, people escaped from the city of Philadelphia and used the King's Road to get away from the British and seek refuge up in the Bethlehem area. So not only people, but the Liberty Bell and 12 other bells were put on wagons and taken out of Philadelphia. They came up the King's Road right through Hellertown, along with 300 wagons of soldiers, munitions, British captives. It was quite a scene. I would have liked to have seen that.
Yeah. Not only is it the 250th anniversary, and it might have been a logical choice to focus on that, but I don't think even I realized that Hellertown's history was so deeply intertwined with our Revolutionary War moment, that time.
I didn't know until I was an adult.
I really do. Unfortunately, we're just about out of time. I encourage our listeners again, please go to the Hellertown Historical Society Facebook page or website for more info. This is the Saucon Valley or the Heritage Day, Saucon Valley's Heritage Day, on May 16th from 11 to 5 at the Gristmill Park and the Michael Heller Homestead. Not to be missed, especially this year, especially this 250th year to revisit. Revisit the world that gave birth to our world now and what it cost and what it was like.
Exactly.
So, thank you so much, Dennis, and thank you so much for the work that the Hellertown Historical Society
does.
Well,
you're welcome, and thank you, Kate.
You've been listening to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I want to thank you, our listeners. I've been your host, Kate Scuffle, and I certainly look forward to visiting with you again soon, right here in the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon on WDIY 88.1 FM. The Lehigh Valley's Public Radio. Lehigh Valley Arts Salon is supported by the Dexter F. and Dorothy H. Baker Foundation, who believes lives are enriched through a vibrant and enduring arts community, and invites you to join them in supporting the arts.